I was thinking how sometimes when I, the older I get, the more my illustrations sometimes seem out of date to especially the younger crowd. Hopefully not too much so today, but I was reflecting back on a time when I used to play jacks. Do you guys still play jacks today? Have you ever heard of anything like that? So what they were is they were like these little spiky looking things that were in a bag and it had a rubber ball and you'd bounce the ball and try to pick up one and bounce the ball before it bounced twice and you'd try to pick up some and you it was really an interesting game and I was obsessed with it for a while where I could pick them all up and bounce it and stuff. But I had one problem. I never picked up or cleaned up my jacks. And as a parent, I don't know if you ever experienced this, but my dad still tells stories of him walking around and stepping on these jacks in the middle of the night when he couldn't see. And it was like they were really solid metal and they actually really hurt. And I felt so bad about it, but I just couldn't get my brain organized enough to clean them up. And my dad used to yell at me for those things. Why I was thinking about it is when you're wandering around in the dark, it really is hard to see your way through sometimes. And it's easy to step on a jack. Like I mentioned, it's easy to stub your toe. Have you ever stubbed your toe at night? That's always a great experience. And you just don't know all the time where you're going. And so when we think about where we're at in the book of Romans, we've been studying this great book that the Apostle Paul, one of the original church leaders, wrote to the Roman church. He's trying to give them real practical lessons on how to live a life of following God and falling in love with Jesus Christ. We're in this section where he's really grieving about the nation of Israel. Paul was an Israelite, and he grieved that his own people weren't necessarily seeing the truth of who Jesus Christ was and wouldn't respond to them. And today we're kind of talking about this idea of what are some of the things in life that can help us establish and experience a relationship with Jesus that can kind of keep us from stumbling in the dark, so to speak. How do we find that relationship with God? I'll mainly be in Romans 9 and 10, but before I jump in, let me pray for us. Father, we're incredibly grateful again to be at a place like this where we can worship you, where we can sing, where we can learn about who you are, about what it means to give, why we sing, why we study the Bible together. We're just really, really grateful. Father, would you speak clearly to us today as we learn how to establish that relationship with you, Jesus, if we haven't done so, or some of the things that might cause us to stumble so we can stay away from those things in terms of understanding who you are. Jesus, thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. We love you. We can't say that enough. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what are some of the things in life that help us experience this great relationship with Jesus Christ and to establish it if we don't know him? Well, in order to have a relationship with God, it starts with this idea of having right beliefs. You need to develop right beliefs and right assumptions. I always used to think growing up that God was really angry all the time, and maybe it was just me, but I felt like he was sort of constantly disappointed with who I was as a kid. He was always sort of looking over my shoulder. I even had this idea that maybe he even wanted to tell you I told you so and sort of rejoiced a little bit when I really messed up. And I have no idea where that came from, but it was just a part of my life. And so in order for me to really have a good relationship with God through Jesus Christ, I had to believe rightly about who he was, what his character is like, and the things that reflect on the character of God. So I'm in Romans chapter 9. Paul is exploring why some of the Israelites don't believe in this section. And it's partly because they don't have the right beliefs or assumptions. Verse 30 of chapter 9. What then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue a righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith. But Israel, who pursued a law of righteousness, has not attained it. Why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as if it were by works. They stumbled over something like you stumble in the dark, right? As it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. So basically what's happening here is the Israelites follow the law faithfully. They do all these kinds of things. And for them, it doesn't seem fair. You ever run into anything that doesn't seem fair in your life? It doesn't seem fair that they have the law. They try to obey. And yet the Gentiles, the people outside of Israel, don't have the law. They don't know who God is, and yet they still can be saved and forgiven and have a relationship with God. And he's saying the reason for that is you're saved and you have a relationship with God by faith, by trusting in who God is, not by works. And if you try to do it by works, you'll stumble over this person who is called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, look, you can't ever forgive yourself. You can't ever be good enough for me to love you. I have to be good for you. I have to live a sinless life for you. I died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sin. And if you put your faith, your trust, your hope in me, then you will never be put to shame. Then you will have that relationship that will never end. It's very, very important that you understand who God is. And that's why one of our pillars that Daryl mentioned earlier is Scripture. We learn about God through Scripture, through the Bible. It's very important to study the Bible to understand what's right and what's wrong about your belief systems. Because people say encouraging things, but it's not always true. You always have to check out what people say. My dad, almost every day of my life, said, hey, champ. He called me champ. He said, hey, you can do whatever you want in life. And I get that, because I get the encouragement of that. We live in America and we want to dream dreams and do things like that. But here's the reality as I grew up. You know what? I can't do everything that I want to do. Some things I'm not good at. I wanted to be a professional baseball player and then I want to be a football player. Guess what? Look at the package. You know, I mean, it doesn't. I could believe it all I want to, but it ain't going to happen. So I'm not trying to discourage you. If you want to dream dreams and pursue things, please do with all of your might. But the reality is that sometimes you're made in certain ways where God wants you to do other things than maybe what you're thinking about, and you have to face that reality. Not all truths are good, and that's one of the things that needs to be sifted in here. God loves you and desires to have a relationship with you, but you've got a sin problem. This sin problem, this rebellion, this selfishness separates you from a relationship with God, just like it separated the nation of Israel. And it takes right ideas of who God is in order to generate that sense of calling that God has on our lives and that sense of trust and faith. So developing right beliefs is a very important part of knowing who God is. The second one is this, being zealous with right knowledge. Being zealous with right knowledge. You know what zealous is, students? Zealous is passion and drive. So like I know all of you guys, right? You are zealous to study math, right? Every one of you. Because people that love Jesus love math, right? Well, maybe not necessarily. That's part of those things that you need to sift through Scripture. It's actually not in there. But it's this passion that it takes over you and you want to do something. You want to pursue something that's outside of who you are. But passion needs to be directed by knowledge, by information, by facts, specifically knowledge when it's used in the term of the Hebrew language in the Old Testament. It's a relational word. It's very rarely facts or information. It needs to be guided by a relationship with God. God needs to guide you in your passions. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul said, Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. We mentioned this last week, but Paul's heart is just broken for his own people, that they would see the truth of who Jesus Christ is. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. They're passionate about God. They understand that God created and they want to know him. But their zeal, their passion, is what? It's not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. They didn't understand that Jesus was the only righteous one, and his righteousness needs to be applied to our lives. We can't generate goodness and no sin and those kinds of things in our own strength. You just can't do it. You can't create your own righteousness. Verse 4, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be a righteousness for everyone who believes. The end of the law. Christ fulfills and completes the law. He lived a sinless life and he fulfilled the whole law when he was alive on earth, and then he died to take on our sin. He didn't do anything wrong, right? So the law is completed and culminates in Jesus Christ. It's kind of like a finish line. Have you ever run a race at school? Like a short race or perhaps a long race? What's the goal of running a race? It's to win, right? It's to cross the finish line first. And if you can't win, you still want to cross the line at some point, you know, to feel good about yourself. The goal isn't to cross the finish line and just keep running. Have you ever seen anybody do that? Hey, the race is over. I don't care. I just want to keep running. You know, it's weird. It's a finish line. It's a completion point. Jesus is the completion of all history, of all of who God is. He's the fullness in the nature and the character and an exact reflection of who God is. He is God himself. And he says, look, I fulfilled the law for you so you don't have to. Be zealous about a relationship with me and knowing who I am, trusting me by faith and growing in that relationship. Don't be zealous about trying to perform your way into my acceptance. Don't get off base and be zealous about the wrong thing. Have you guys been watching over the past couple of weeks some of the marches for science? Have you guys been seeing those things on TV? People would march for science and they're very excited about science. And you know what? I am too. I think science is awesome. I think it's an important endeavor. I think we need probably more scientists, not less. But some of the ways that they were marching bothered me a little bit. And you know what it was? It was this. Science is all that we need. And it's our only hope. And I don't find that in Scripture, and I don't find that in my own experience. Science is awesome. But we need God. We need the spiritual side of life. We need God as revealed through Jesus Christ to totally create not only salvation, but a full understanding of how we're supposed to live our life, how we're supposed to direct and make scientific decisions and those kinds of things. Passion sometimes without knowledge happens. When I was young, I was passionate about getting a pocket knife. So parents, I'm not trying to get you in trouble here. If your parents don't want you to ever have a pocket knife, especially you boys, listen to them. They have knowledge. You might have passion, but knowledge is important. Here's why. I begged my dad for a pocket knife, and he says, I'm not ready. I was about 8. He says, you're not ready. He goes, I know you. You fall down, and you break stuff, and you're not ready to have a pocket knife. And I said, well, Dad, I got to have a pocket knife because I want to whittle. Do you know that word, whittle? You take a piece of wood, and you whittle or you carve something out with a pocket knife. Dad wouldn't give it to me, so I found some baseball cards that were pretty valuable. My buddies and I used to trade for them, and I traded baseball cards for a pocket knife. Okay, I didn't tell my dad. I got a big stick. And I started whittling. I started carving. But I didn't have knowledge. So what do you think might have happened? When you're whittling, which direction should you whittle? Should you whittle towards yourself? Or should you whittle away from yourself? I didn't know. And so I whittled towards myself and it was not good. But I dried up all the blood and bandaged everything and then I kept going. The second thing I didn't know is when a pocket knife, you open it, it has a hinge. And so like when you're stabbing, because that's what you do with a pocket knife, right? You stab stuff, right? You're supposed to stab it in the right direction so that it stays open. I stabbed it so it folded up on my finger. Not only did it cut my finger, but it broke my finger. That was a little bit harder to hide from my dad. If you look at it today, it's still crooked. It happened over 50 years ago. But I couldn't hide it. I confessed my sin. And I said, Dad, I don't have knowledge. And you know what he said to me? I know. Your life would be better if you would just listen to me. And that's what I'm asking you to try to do here in terms of right beliefs. You need to listen to the knowledge that your parents and that your teachers tell you. You need to listen to what the Bible says about who God is, because that will help you understand the goodness of God, and you won't get hurt along the way. It may seem strange to you, young ones especially, but it's easy to hurt people even with the Bible. Have you thought about that before? It's easy to use the Bible in the wrong way or to take something out of context and to really manipulate and hurt people and make people feel bad. That's why we need each other. That's why we need small groups. That's why you need your classes. We want to understand Scripture. We want to have knowledge and that relational connection with God to help our passionate desire to know Him. Being zealous with right knowledge helps. Here's a last little idea that sometimes people don't always think about, but you need to apply this knowledge, and it's this. You need to make a decision and confess Jesus with what you know. God calls you. We learned about this last week. He chooses you to be in a relationship with Him, but you still have to participate by faith and make that trust choice that you want to surrender your life to Him. You want to believe in Him. Let me read some of this. Actually, let me start in the Old Testament. I'm going to start in Deuteronomy. You guys know where Deuteronomy is? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the fifth book, the last book of the Pentateuch, sort of the holy books attributed to Moses and the history of Israel and those kinds of things. One of the things that God wanted the Israelites to know is that, yes, they were chosen by God, but they weren't chosen because they were super special and super righteous on their own. They couldn't do things on their own. So Deuteronomy chapter 9, they're going into the land. They're taking advantage of this new place that God has given them to live. And in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4, this is what he says. It says, after the Lord your God has driven out the people that had this land, has driven them out and given you victory, do not say to yourself, the Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness. No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you. It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going in and take possession of their land, but on account of their wickedness that these nations have done things against God, the Lord your God will drive them out to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God is giving you this good land, this new great place to live, to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. That doesn't mean that you have a sore neck. It means that you're not humble. You won't bow to who God is. You won't submit to the fact that you are sinful. You think you're more righteous than you are. So part of making a decision and understanding who Christ is realizing that you are not righteous in and of yourself. You're not good in and of yourself. You have something wrong with you, and it's called sin. And so what we learn here is sort of the solution for this sin problem that God has given us in Romans chapter 10. So back to chapter 10, Romans 10, verse 5. Moses describes in this way the righteousness that is by the law. The man who does these things will live by them. So in other words, if the law is going to give you righteousness, you will obey the law. No one can obey the law because we're flawed, broken people. That gives us a problem. Verse 6, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the deep. But what does it say? So that image there is when Jesus came to live on the earth. It's called the incarnation. Perhaps you've heard about that. And when he rises from the dead on Easter, what's that called? It's called the resurrection. So don't say that you control or have the ability or even worry about the indwelling, the incarnation of Jesus Christ or his resurrection from the dead. That is appropriated to you by faith, not by how good you are, by self-effort. Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are proclaiming. God loves you, and he gives you the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, and he's always pursuing that relationship with you. If you make a choice, then it's yours, right? So verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you might be saved. So it says, it's a real black and white issue. God doesn't grade on the curve. You don't have to worry about your GPA or anything like that. It's black and white. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have a relationship with God. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You're pronounced innocent, and that sin doesn't hold you back anymore. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. And he goes on to say to his Jewish folks especially, for there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call upon him. God wants to save everyone. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Everyone who makes this decision. Everyone that responds in faith to who Jesus Christ is will be saved, will be forgiven. It's a choice that you have to make. This past week, I had an awesome opportunity to read a book to a kindergarten class in Northboro. It was really a lot of fun. I don't know if you've heard of the book, if you remember in elementary school, but I don't know if you've heard of the Pete the Cat books. Pete's a cool cat. Okay, he's a cool cat. And I got to read about Pete the Cat and his magic sunglasses. And so I explained to the kindergartners. Kindergartners are a hoot, by the way. Have you been in a kindergarten class lately? Holy cow. Questions and energy. I needed a nap after I was done. It was fun. I was only in there for like 20 minutes, but it was just wild and crazy. So I'm reading this book, and I said, Pete has these glasses, and he's depressed about his life. It's raining. There's nothing good going on. But when he puts on these magic glasses, all of a sudden, everything seems great. Then he comes across another friend, like a turtle, and then an alligator, and a squirrel, and he says, here, why don't you put on these glasses? And when you do, you'll see the world in a whole different way. And at the end, Pete's being cool and he's skateboarding and he falls and breaks his glasses. And he finds out, you know what? now I'm never going to be happy again, right? But a wise old owl that's hanging up in a tree, owls are supposed to be wise. I don't know why, but they are wise, right? Says to Pete the cat, look, you don't need glasses. You just need to choose in your heart to see life differently, to see the good in life, to see the hope that's in life. You need to make that decision. It's not something that can be mechanically done for you. It's something in your heart that you believe and confess as true. It's really important to me that you guys understand, especially the students and the children here, the love that God has for us and what needs to happen in order to start that relationship with God. But I'm going to have, just for this part of the message, I'm going to have Miss Tanya. You guys know Miss Tanya? Your children's director. I'm going to have her come up and just round out what I was saying about this decision part of your life in Christ.
The parents have been learning about Romans over the last couple months, right? And there's this great saying that says, all roads lead to Rome, right? But all roads don't lead to heaven. And so what I want to do is each of you got this great little thing. Each of the kids got this as they came in. It says, the Roman road, pathway to life. And I want to go over some verses that are found in Romans that teach us all, not just those who are 5 and 6 and 7 years old in this room, but all of us, about how we can be saved. The first verse is in Romans chapter 3. It says this. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Pastor Derek said, you know, you have to have right thinking. All of us have sinned. If you can say here today that you have not sinned, you just lied. Just telling you straight up. Because all of us have sinned. We have a sin nature. And all of us have fallen short of God's glory. That's why God gave us His commandments, right? I know my kindergarten through second graders know their commandments from Mrs. Bryan. But each of us, we tend to mess up along the way. We all sin and we fall short of God's glory. And then the next verse in this Romans road is from Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It says, for the wages of sin is death. Oh, the cost. The payment we have to pay for us messing up is death. It is separation from God. But, I love that. The verse doesn't end there. The verse continues. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, God doesn't leave us in our sin. He loves us too much. He doesn't want us to be separated from Him forever. He loves us. And so we're going to go back a chapter to Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And it says this. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knew that the payment for our sin was death. And so out of His great love for us, He sent Jesus to die for us. It's a gift that we have all been given, and we need to choose. Will we receive that gift or will we pass it by? And then Pastor Derek read this verse earlier in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Here's how you receive that gift, how you take it, how you open it, how you receive it. Are you ready? For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. Oh, I'm sorry. I messed up. That was verse 10. Let's try verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In Romans 5:8, we found out that Jesus died for us. And now we have to believe that God raised Him from the dead. There's a lot of people who have died over the years. A lot of great people who have died over the years. But the only one that God raised from the dead so that we could have eternal life is His Son, Jesus. And if we believe in Jesus, if we believe that God raised Him from the dead, we are saved. All roads might lead to Rome. But only one road leads to heaven, and that is by believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins to pay the penalty for our sins so that God raised him from the dead and we could have eternal life.
Thank you, Tanya. So those words are very, very appropriate for our kids and our students, but they're also appropriate for our adults. It's a fairly simple but yet profound message, and we're all forgiven and saved in the same way. So whether you waited a while to express your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, or whether you're just starting out in life and this is a truth that you want to express and put your trust in the Lord, and now is the time to do that. And so I just want to pray. Bow your heads and let's pray together. Father, thank you for the clarity and the right beliefs and the description of who you are that we get out of the Bible. May we continue to grow in our knowledge of Scripture as we learn more about you. Father, thank you for giving us a path, a chance to respond to you by our faith, by our trust in what you've done for us through your Son, Jesus. Father, I pray that everyone here has made this decision. We make this decision just like I'm talking to you, Lord. This is what prayer is about. We have a conversation with you and we express our desire to confess that we need you, Jesus. We're sinful. We've done things that are wrong. We recognize that you're the one that can take care of our sin problem. We believe that and we receive that gift. We trust in you. We don't try to generate change on our own strength. We give up in our own strength and we trust you, Jesus, for what you've done for us on the cross, your life, your death, and your resurrection, and we confess that in our hearts today. If anyone wants to just maybe talk to God about these things, silently, quietly, just take a moment and talk to the Lord just for a sec. Father, thanks for the hope and the security that comes from knowing that we are forgiven, that we have a relationship with you, that our lives and our decisions, our passions can be directed by your Holy Spirit, by good things, not by misguided knowledge or efforts. Father, I pray that everyone here has personal faith in you, that they have trusted you as an act of their will, as a decision of faith. And now help us grow. Help us change. Help us be more like you, Jesus, as we continue in this relationship with you. We love you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.